men that understand the workings of the Holy Ghost have the capacity to change conditions. The capacity to change condition, it's a kingdom entrustment. You can't gain the kingdom if it is not a priority.
Yes, this is the kingdom message. Get ready and fasten your seatbelt as the servant of God, the lead pastor of KDC Love and Mercy Church, Pastor Stephen Enoku, drives us through the mysteries of the Word of God. Be blessed as you listen.
Are you making declarations in the name of Jesus? There is no enchantment against my family. In the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Rababasha da bala da bala da bala da bala da. Ekete brada da bala da bala da bala da. Ejekete prekete belekete belekete. Ele prete belene 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 ya. Brada shada balada 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 balada. In Jesus' name we pray. Just lift up your hands and give thanks to God. Just appreciate the Lord. Say, Father, thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you're doing. Hallelujah. Father, we give you thanks. Blessed be your name, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's celebrate the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's put hands together. Let's celebrate the King of Kings. Amen. Glory to God. Let's be seated. Welcome somebody to your left. To your right. Just welcome somebody to your left. It's good to have you in service tonight. Glory to God. It's good to have every one of you in service tonight. I want to appreciate us for our commitment. Welcome us to the month of March. The month of March is a month of prayer for us. It's a month where we stretch our faith to God. It's a month where we wait on God in the place of prayers. Hallelujah. And by the grace of God, since on Monday, we began our fasting and prayers. Monday we began our fasting and prayers. And I'm convinced that everyone that has been participating in the fasting and prayers, you have been experiencing some level of strength and divine aid. Glory to God. So please, we continue in the fasting and prayers. By the grace of God, we'll be ending the fasting and prayers next week, Friday. Hallelujah. And then it's going to be trust God for answers. Amen. So just lift up your hands and say, Father, thank you for the strength that I have enjoyed all through the fasting. I believe you fasted. It was actually a setup. So we are thanking God for fasting that you did not do. Eh? Praise God. Look at your neighbor and say, are you sure you are fasting? Don't answer. Is a root to root. How did they pronounce it? You shall know what I want to say. Praise God. Let's fast. It's been massive so far. Now we are fasting for the burden for the fasting is fourfold. Number one, we are fasting so as to position ourselves aright for the work of ministry. You must understand that ministry is serving God's purpose to men. So ministry is spiritually sourced. We've seen in scriptures where before every ministry assignment, people set themselves apart to fast. More notable was our Lord Jesus. The Bible says he went on 40-day fasting and prayers, and then he went into ministry. So this is 2023, and we have taken delivery of what God wants this year to look like. Glory to God. For me, I'm so convinced. And because I'm convinced of it, I need to rely on him for the what? Performance. So that's why I'm fasting. Is that okay? I need the right energy, the right posture of heart, the right insight to be able to achieve what he has for me this year. Glory to God. So we are fasting to position ourselves for the work of ministry, the right posture of heart. Listen to this. Nothing shapes our heart like praying the right prayer and fasting with the right attitude. Please write that down. I know we believe in what the word of God can do when we listen to it, but I've come to realize that when it comes to the posture of our heart, nothing shapes a man's heart like prayers and fasting with the right attitude. Fasting with the right posture of heart. Nothing affects your heart like praying the right prayers and fasting for the right reason. I've seen people fast because they want to get admission. I've seen people fast because they need a spouse. But the truth is, true New Testament kingdom fasting is to affect your heart posture. The Bible says in Isaiah 58, he said, this is the fasting that the Lord desires. But more importantly, now said, so shall thy light break forth like the morning sun. So you must understand that every time we fast, it affects our heart. And then when we now mix it with the right prayers, it affects our life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you read verse 6 and 7, it said, 7. Then 8. It said, then. Give it to us in New King James. He said, so shall thy light break forth like the morning. He said, your healing shall spring forth speedily, and then your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of God shall be your rear guide. Four things happen. Number one, around you there's going to be brightness. You can't be fasting and then darkness will persist. When you talk about darkness, you are talking about ignorance. So one of the reasons we fast is to assess spiritual insight. Fasting is the wing on which spiritual insights are downloadable to our spirit man. Glory to God. One of the first reasons to fast is to assess light. Say with me, to assess light. The Bible says Daniel began to fast. You know the Daniel fasting. He fought with the prince of Persia. Listen to this. Daniel was not fasting for physical goods. He was not fasting for healing. No. The Bible says he wait on God to know the future of the children of Israel. What will become after their captivity? Listen to this. The basic reason we fast is to gain insight. So shall the light what? Break forth like the morning. You can't be fasting the biblical way and then your life will be characterized with ignorance. No way. So shall the light what? Break forth. So in the mighty name of Jesus, as we fast this season, no darkness around us. Amen. And then, so fasting has a way of affecting even your physical environment. And then number two, he said it brings healing to your body. And then three, it brings righteousness. It stabilizes you in the place of righteousness. And then it said, the glory of the Lord shall be your guide. So fasting, people that live a life of kingdom conscious fasting operates in the realm of glory. Glory to God. Glory to God. So please, if you have not plugged in to this spiritual exercise, you are not doing well. This is day four already. Tomorrow will be day five, and then we'll press on like that until we finish. So please, I want to challenge you, if you have not participated, please participate. We start in the morning and we break by 2 minimum. Some people have been doing it till 4 to 6. Is that okay? But minimum by 2 you break. Glory to God. And then we are doing that because we want to align with what God has said to us this year. The second reason we are fasting this period, who can tell me? What's the second reason? We are fasting so as to align our heart to take delivery of all the prophecies that have gone ahead of us this year. We are fasting so as to align ourselves that we might what? Take delivery. We wage war with prophecies. Glory to God. When prophecies come, battle begins. But we don't fight the battles of the spirit with flesh and blood. We fight it by submitting ourselves to God in the place of prayer. So we are saying, Lord, thank you for all you have said. So we are fasting and praying to position our heart, to align with it, so that we can take delivery of it. I declare God's word over your life. Every word that God has spoke that will be performed this year in your life, you will see their manifestation. I said you will see their manifestation. You will take delivery of every divine deliverable. I said you will take delivery of every divine release. Every word that God has said concerning your life, your business, your career, your finances, your ministry, you will partake of it in the name of Jesus. So when we fast, we are telling God that, God, we heard what you said and we are ready to take delivery of it. Glory to God. And then strength. The good thing about fasting is that it makes you bodily weak, but makes you spiritually strong. It makes you look bodily weak, but on the long run, you become filled with what? Strength. And then last but not the least, we are fasting so that there will be utterance, there will be boldness for mission to the 3,000 souls. So we are fasting so that our spirit, soul, and body can be well energized to go out there to win souls. Glory to God. We are fasting for kingdom advancement. We are fasting for kingdom advancement. When souls are saved and added to the local church, the kingdom is advanced. Glory to God. So right now, can you close your eyes and declare once again, I receive grace to participate in this spiritual exercise. I receive grace. I receive grace to participate in this spiritual exercise. I do not become weary. I do not become discouraged. I do not become slothful. In the mighty name of Jesus. I do not become weary. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. By the grace of God, we are fasting so that the virtue of humility can be forged in us. We are fasting so that we can also assess the virtue of humility. Listen to this. There are virtues in the scriptures that we are told to pray for. One of the things I realized as I began to study about humility is that we ask God to enable us to be humble. Praise God. Just the same way David, Solomon, sought God for wisdom. Wisdom is a virtue. Humility also is a virtue. We seek God for it. So we are also fasting so that the virtue of humility can be forged in us. Glory to God. Our focus for this month, by the grace of God, is in James chapter 4, verse 6. James chapter 4, verse 6. That's our focus, our anchor scripture for the month of March. The Bible says, but he gives more grace. He gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So quickly and very briefly, I want to introduce the subject to us. The grace of the humble, part one. The grace of the humble, part one. The grace of the humble, part one. Father, thank you for your word. We give you glory because the entrance of your word is what gives life, light, and understanding. And it comes to those that are simple. So Lord, I'm asking that the ministry of your word this evening will bring understanding to your people. I'm asking that you would, within the short time, I will exhort your people, bring light to their heart. Let there be a stirring up in their spirit. Let the light of God shine mightily over their heart. In the mighty name of Jesus. There is an anointing that makes the preaching of your word to be free flowing, effectual, and then brings about transformation in people's life. I'm asking that anointing will accompany the word that I will share tonight. I pray that every heart will be also enabled to understand. Let no one consider this teaching ambiguous, confusing. Let no one consider it veiled. I pray that the light of God will shine mightily over the heart of your people. That Jesus Christ will be glorified even as every saint is edified. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. Now let me begin by saying the objective of this teaching series is to help us embrace the reality. To help us embrace this reality. Is that okay? the objective of this series is to help us embrace this reality. What is the reality? The reality that a greater portion of the graces a believer will enjoy comes as a result of humility. The reason why I want to teach us about humility is to help us embrace the reality that a lot of things that we believers, graces that we believers will enjoy, are you with me now, comes as a result of the virtue of humility. Can I say that again? Great grace is made available on the premise of humility. Great grace is made available on the virtue of humility. Meaning, the greater your humility, the greater your grace. That's why we are embarking on this teaching. By the wisdom of God, I want to help you see that the greatest of men in the sight of God are the humblest of men in their humanity. Humility is a core prerequisite for great rise in God's kingdom. Secondly, to provide insight into how this kingdom virtue of humility can be cultivated. The burden for this series is to help you understand how to become humble. Humility is not a default posture in humanity. I'll say that again. Humility is not a normal way of life to us humans. It is not natural for humans to be humble. The nature of the fall, according to I remember his name, one of these authors that did an extensive study on humility, says something that one of the natures man inherited the day he fell was pride. One of the natures that fallen man got entangled with is pride. So, by virtue of your humanity, humility is not part of your life. You know, nobody was born humble. Is that okay? Humility is a posture you take. Nobody was born humble. That's why I was doing a study, and one of the things one of the authors said, he said, humility, the pathway to humility is humiliation. Most times, you become humble after you have been humiliated. So, there is a how to cultivate humility. And we're going to understand that during the course of this series. And then, lastly, to unveil the dangers of pride as it stands against kingdom humility. To unveil the dangers of pride as it stands against, fights against kingdom humility. And then quickly, let's look at a few things. Let me begin by saying that when we talk about the kingdom of God, we are not talking about a cliche or a religious system. Is that okay? the kingdom of God statement. For those of you that have been in this local church, we have said it severally. Kingdom of God, kingdom of God. Please take note of this. That statement is not a cliche. The kingdom of God is not a religious system. You can't put God at the same level with Buddha. You can't put God at the same level with Mohammed. You can't put God at the same level with Ekanka. You can't put God at the same level with any of the greats. God exists in a place, at a cloud, greater and of himself. Glory to God. So, the kingdom of God is not a religious system. It's not a cliche. What do we mean? The kingdom of God is how God influences humans to live the way he, God, lives. That's what we mean by the kingdom of God. Write that down. The kingdom of God is how God influences humans to live as he, God, lives. Three things. Number one, God. Number two, humans. Number three, life. So hear this. You can't talk about the kingdom of God and not talk about a lifestyle. There is how God wants every human to live. So the system that God has put in place to determine how we humans should live is what we refer to as the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the system, write it down, that God has put in place to define, to train, and to make humans live the way he wants. That's what we call the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is how God makes men live like God. Do we get that now? And when we praise God, when we begin to talk about that, we are talking about three things. Number one, sir, we are talking about God. In the beginning, God. Two, we are talking about man, and God made man. And then three, we are talking about lifestyle. And God saw that the wickedness of man was so great, that every thought of his heart was evil continually. Genesis chapter 6 verse 5. So you must know this, that the moment you associate yourself with the kingdom of God, there is a style of life that must be consistent with that association. I'll say that again. The moment you associate yourself and say, see, I'm of God's kingdom, the next thing people begin to look for are the lifestyles that accompanies the kingdom of God. Glory to God. Do we understand that? So you can't talk about the kingdom of God and not talk about a lifestyle. You can't talk about the kingdom of God and not talk about a lifestyle. There is a lifestyle that is expected of us. Amen. There is no way you can say that you have encountered God and we don't see it in how you live. Don't deceive yourself. It was Jesus that spoke. I think Matthew 12 or thereabout. He said, a tree is known by its fruit. A tree is known by its what? By its fruit. A tree is known by his what? By his fruit. He said, verse 35. Let's start from verse 33. Matthew 12, verse 33. He said, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruits. Now, what did the Bible say about us? Isaiah chapter 61, verse 4. Let me check to be sure I'm correct. Let's turn our Bibles to Isaiah. It is important we know who we are. Verse 3, Isaiah 61, verse 3. Isaiah was speaking prophetically about the believer. He says something. To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beautiful arches, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of evidence. What's the reason? That they may be called trees. Of what? Of righteousness. The plantings. Referring to the believer. That they may be called what? Trees of righteousness. The planting of the Lord. That he may be glorified. Now the destiny of the man in Christ is glory. But the seed that brought you to who you are now is the seed that you are the planting of God. So when God put the seed down, he expected a tree to grow. And you are that tree. You are that tree. Glory to God. Say, I am the planting of the Lord. Even David in Psalm 1 was saying that he shall be like a tree. Several times I have stated it. That the believer is recognized in two synonyms. We are synonymous to two typologies. Number one, the believer is referred to as a building. And the believer is referred to as a what? As a planting. We see it through scriptures. We see it through scriptures. Psalm 1, he said, he shall be like a what? A tree. Is talking about the man that does not stand in the company of sinners. And you are that man. So he said, you are like a tree. I mean, maybe because of the revelation he had at that point in time. He used synonym, like a tree. But Isaiah, seen prophetically, he says, so that they may what? Be. The planting of the Lord. Oaks of righteousness. The planting of the Lord. So say with me, I am the planting of the Lord. Now Jesus now came. In John, he now spoke. John 15. He said, I am the vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. Verse 16. He said, you have not called me. He said, but I have what? I've called you that you might bring forth fruit. So you are a tree. You are a tree. But the validity of your treeness, there's a word like that, is determined by what comes out of your life. So, we know a tree. We say it's orange tree because orange grows there. Is that okay? That's why we call it orange tree. I think Jesus was speaking. He said, man does not find bamboo in thorns, or they don't find thorns in bamboo. And that's the truth. There is what we should see in your life when we come close to you. That's what we are saying. As a believer, stop saying I go to church. Some say, stop saying I fast and pray. No. Those things are statements of mouth. When we come close to you, we should, by what your life is emitting, attribute you to a type of tree. So if we see an orange, they come out from your life, we'll say, Fisayo, she's an orange tree. Why? Because the fruit of our life is sweet and has plenty of vitamins, even though it's mixed with acid. Glory to God. Amen. So there are fruits expected from our lives. And then that was Jesus. Now let's check what Apostle Paul now said. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I think verse 9. Paul now said it. Apostle Paul speaking. Let's see what he said there. He said, for we, talking about him and Apollos, are God's fellow workers. But what did he now said? He said, you are God's field. You are God's building. So we are the plantings of God. Our lives carries a seed. Glory to God. So, like Jesus said, we are known by what comes out of our lives. So, it is important to now embrace the fact that if we are known by what comes out of our life, of what stuff are we? We are God's field. So you are associated with God. Tell anybody you are associated with God. So, meaning that there are virtues that God is known for. So let's check some of them. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Paul was admonishing us. He wanted to start a discourse on what I'm talking about. The focus of Philippians chapter 2 is what we are talking about. Humility. He was speaking, he said, let's read it from the New Living Translation. There's something Paul was saying here, and I want us to read it together. Please look up the screen. He said, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? He said, any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? He now said, then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with one another. He said, loving one another, working together with one mind and purpose. Wait, stay here. Stay here. Whenever Apostle Paul begins to write, we must not be in a hurry. You know, these things were written as one straight letter. He said, make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly. He said, I'm working together with one mind and one purpose. So take note of the word, one mind. One mind. As he goes on, he will now qualify that one-mindedness. See what he now said. Verse 3. He now said, don't be selfish. Is that okay? Still emphasizing what he said in the previous verse. He said, don't be selfish. What he's trying to say is that make it not be say waiting day in mind and waiting day in mind different. Is that okay? Let it not be that what is in his mind, what is in our mind is different. While I was doing a study on humility, he said, one of the pointers that you are proud is when you find it difficult to always agree with people. Now, most times that people don't agree with other people, it's not really that what other people are saying is not correct. But they just believe saying that their own are correct. Make everybody go die. Now my own correct. That is a valid posture of pride. You understand what I'm saying? So the starting point of valid humility, selflessness. Okay, Shebi, don't talk up. Now say B. Now see what he said. He said, don't be selfish. One. Two. It's continuing. No, let's not say two. Because we see what we have there. What's that thing in front of it? Semicolon, Abi. Eh? Which one be this thing where they there? Okay, semicolon, Abi. Semicolon. Okay. For English today, you know what semicolon is? When you put semicolon, it means that you are explaining what you said before. Now go school. Hey, father. So he's not saying that. Now, when you are selfish, it's when you try to what? Impress others. So he now said, be humble. Thinking of others better than yourselves. Now, don't forget what he said in verse. Okay. He now said, still continuing. He said, don't look out only for your interest, but take an interest in others' what? Too. He's not saying don't have interest. He said, but the interest you should have should not be only your own. So there should be what we call balance of what? Interest. Do we understand that? Do you understand that? We'll come to that. I'm going somewhere. Now, see now what he now said. He said, give it to us in Amplified. He now said, let this same attitude. So he said, be of one mind and one purpose. Verse 2. So now he's not qualifying that one purpose. So listen, if I stand and I'm telling you, every one of us here, let's have one mind. Do you know what I'm trying to tell you? Be humble. Do you understand? Be humble so that when I come and I say, this is what we want to do, and this I want to do it, you will not get angry. Why must we do it like this? Are you following me? He said, let's have one mind. So that one mind, he's calling it, let this same attitude and purpose be in you that was in who? In Christ. He said, let Christ be your example in humility. Omo, now big example. Very big example. Let's see it. What's the example? Verse 6. Read it together, everybody. Read it again. So he had oneness with God, and in the form of God, which make God God, did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped. Yeah, wait. You do you want me to explain what the Bible wrote? Do you know the meaning of what the Bible wrote? You know what he was saying here? Let me explain it in a way that is very simple. He has gone in his hand. And he is the enemy. We refuse to kill him. That's what the Bible is. That's what the Bible is saying. What you are saying, when, for example, I've seen sometimes somebody has a car and is trekking. When you get something and the thing don't get you. That's what scripture is saying. You know, sometimes we like behaving like lenient colleagues. It's just like you're in a conversation that three people are arguing. And then all what they're arguing about. Now even you, now be the, okay, let me give you an example of when they were arguing about the resurrection. You remember in the scriptures? They were arguing seriously and Jesus was in their midst. You know, humility is when you get power but you refuse to allow the power get you. That's what scripture is saying here. He said, one, he was essentially one with God. Two, he had all the attributes But guess what? He still subjected it to the will of the Father. Do you understand what we are saying? Humility is when you have rights, but you choose not to what? To use it. But still subject it to the one that gave you the right. That's humility. It's just like, you know, sometimes we look at some of these things and we just throw face away. It's just like I give you key to my house. And then I tell you that just get anything you want to eat, eat. And yet you open the fridge and you see what you want to eat there. You still pick your phone and call me and say, see, I see chicken inside the fridge. Can I eat it? That's humility. Are you understanding what we are talking about? Humility is when the power day, but you choose not to use it, you still subject it to the one that gave it to you. You don't allow it get into your head. Can't you see I'm the boss in this office? How dare you talk to me like that? Bros, humility don't go con now. That's what we are saying. That's what scripture is saying. Give it to us in NLT. He said, though he was God, but he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Just the same way we say honor, pride, every of this virtue has a posture. Humility also has a what? A posture. Now, what's the posture of humility? Verse 7. See what he just did. And then we'll pray. He said, instead, he gave up his divine privileges. That's what we are saying. That's what he said. I know I'm the one that's supposed to sleep in this bed. But you, yeah, go and sleep. But you, where will you now sleep? Just go and sleep. Leave me. You know what I'm saying? He said, he took a head. So, you know, I told you, humility is a posture you take from a thought you think. So let's rehearse it now. Humility is a posture you take from a thought you think. Humility is a posture you take from a thought you think. Now, what is the thinking that brings about humility? Is a thinking that yes, even though I have the right to do this, I don't think I should do it. Is a thinking. You see how the thinking they happen. I know I should slap this guy. See this guy, just to give me why? Well, you see, no man, not show myself. Praise God. Glory to God. Is a posture you take from a thought you think. So meaning that every valid humility is powered by thinking pattern. That's what I'm saying. You know, sometimes we make some statement. You think I'm a fool? You think I'm a fool? You think I don't have sense, Abby? Now, that kind of reaction will trigger pride. Is that okay? So, humility is a posture we take by the way we think. So, you see what he was saying? They said, took the humble position of a what? Slave. So, humility has a thought, humility has a posture, and humility has a likeness. Please, let's write that down. Number one, humility has a talk. There is a way humble people think. Two, humility has a posture. There's a way they carry themselves. And then three, humility has a resemblance. There is a likeness. There is how humble people look. And then during the course of this teaching, we'll learn all of this. Let's be on our feet. We'll learn all of this. Can you lift up your hands and say, Lord, let this mind be in me. 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 Lord, walk upon my mind. Walk upon my mind. Walk on my mind. Strip me of vanities. Strip me of pride. Strip me of selfishness. Strip me of impression. Impression, impression. Trying to impress, create an impression. Strip me, Lord. Let my mind be the mind of a slave. Teach me to live like a servant. Thank you, Father. Help me, Lord. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me, Lord. Help me. Help me. Help me. Holiness. Holiness is what I long for. Holiness. Holiness is what I need. Brokenness.
Brokenness.
Brokenness is what you want from me. Let's bring the communion. Holiness.
Holiness. Holiness is what I long for.
I wanted to lift your hands and pray that prayer.
Holiness is what I need.
Brokenness.
Brokenness. Brokenness is what I long for. What I need.
So take my hand.
Take my heart and hold it. Take my mind. Transform it.
Take my will.
Take my will.
Conform me.
Conform me.
Come from behind as we take the
truth. Oh Lord,
take my hands,
take my hand,
and hold it, hold it,
and hold it.
Take my mind,
take my mind,
transform it,
transform it.
Take my will,
take my will.
Oh,
yeah. working for. I want to give my best to you.
Lift your hands and dedication.
I do what you want me to.
I want to go.
I want to go. Wherever you say to go. Say to go. I will obey. I want to live the life that's real. I want to serve you, Lord, for you. For you deserve all this and more.
I wanna give my best to you. I wanna do what you ask me to. I wanna go wherever you say.
Say no more, and I will obey. I wanna live a life that's real. I wanna save your love for me.
For you deserve.
For you deserve.
It is what you deserve. I don't
want to
hold anything back.
I want to go wherever you say.
Say the word.
Say the word. And I will obey.
I want to live.
I want to live.
Let it show in my life. The life that I live. The life that I live. You deserve it.
You deserve all this and more.
That prayer into a declaration. Convert that prayer into a declaration. Humility can be given. You can receive of it. A life that looks like you, Jesus. More of you, Lord. I want to live like you. I'm tired of living my own life. Lord, I want to live like you. I want to live like you. Let this heart be in me. Let this heart, let it be in me. Lord, help me. I give you. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. And so beginning from tonight, I decree over your life that you begin to desire more and more to be like him. The Bible says by virtue of that posture that Jesus took till eternity upon eternity, he remained exalted far above principalities. He did not fight for it. He just humbled himself and it came to him. Whatever it is in life that you seem to have been striving for, that have been eluding you, I decree that in this month of March, as the God of all grace pours out insight about this humility life, you'll begin to partake of them. You begin to rise. You begin to scale heights on the bill of humility in the mighty name of Jesus. It is his word. He said he gives grace. So this year, this month, this very month, by the mercies of God, you will enjoy more grace.
Amen.
By this posture of humility being forged into you, you will enjoy more grace. I said you will enjoy more grace. You will enjoy more grace. You see that area in your life that you have struggled. You have struggled. You thought you knew how to go about it. There has been struggle around it. This month, that struggle will end.
Amen.
On the altar of humility.
Amen.
Be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Let's celebrate the King of Kings with a clap of hands. Amen. Glory to God. Now quickly before we close, I believe you didn't come with nothing. Somehow I believe you came with.
We hope that you have been instructed and edified by the teaching from God's servant, Pastor Stephen Enoku. If you have need for more edifying teachings, you can download them from our ministry's website, www.kdclovembassy.com/sermons. For counseling, feedbacks, and should you want to support the ministry or be a partner to what the Lord is doing through us, send us a mail through kdslofembassychurch@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Keep taking charge.